Gold has been ripping to the upside. It looks really good. It continues to you know, march its way higher. When we look back over the longer term chart of gold here over the past year and a half or so, we've had a series of bull flags where it rallies, takes a breather, rallies, it flags out sideways, takes a breather, and we're back into this next run phase.
Chris Vermeulen, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Andy. Thanks for having me. And excited to talk markets.
Yeah, let's talk the markets. Gold's ripping here. Give me your thoughts. We'll jump into it. Give me your thoughts on gold and what are the charts telling us?
Yeah, sure. Well, gold has been ripping to the upside. It looks really good. It continues to you know, march its way higher. When we look back over the longer term chart of gold here over the past year and a half or so, we've had a series of bull flags where it rallies, takes a breather, rallies, it flags out sideways, takes a breather, and we're back into this next run phase. And I love to use Fibonacci extension. Fibonacci is like one of the most powerful sequences in really like the universe. Everything seems to come down to Fibonacci numbers. And so using it allows us to project forward where price should run to based on its momentum and the past moves. And so if we were to use Fibonacci extension from this low, from this last bull flag, the previous bull flag, to the previous high that we saw, and then right down here, this, if we carry it forward, will bring us to where we should see gold run to. And this price tag is about the 3,050, 3,055 in that range to the upside. So while it's not a huge move, gold still has potential to run 3 or 4% before it hits that next big plateau where it could take a breather for a little bit. And we're in this sweet spot where gold really is kind of in the precious metal space, it's really the only one, in my opinion, that should be really focused on, because we're in a time in the markets and I think the economy around the world, really all the economies, where there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of things going on. We've got war and currency swings that the whole world's buying into gold. And that's why gold keeps hitting new all-time highs and silver is nowhere near it. Miners aren't anywhere near it. And it really is kind of a boring, slow asset, but it's consistent. It's moving up and you can take advantage of it with leverage. A lot of people don't like gold. They're like, no, get me into miners because there's way more potential. I'm like, well, you have a better chance of making money with gold in this current market environment going up. And then you just apply leverage, buy a 2X gold ETF, buy some options on it. It gives you like a high probability trade and you can get the juice like a miner. So that's what I see in gold. It has a little bit of upside left, and I think it could still go higher after that, but I think it's going to hold its value very well over the next several months, as I think this year is going to be a big turmoil year for equities and real estate and a lot of stuff. Obviously, Trump is shaking things up. I just saw this morning he removed military support for Canada until we become the 53rd state or whatever it is. It's crazy, man. These politicians, not just Trump. I mean, all politicians. I hate politics. I hate politics, right. Period. It's such a joke, all this stuff going on. But anyway.
Yeah. Let me ask you some questions about that. So it looks a little, correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks a little bit parabolic-y here, if you would. And then what is, and I'm still optimistic to the upside too, but that's a little scary. Yeah. If should I be scared or afraid? Yeah. And then what is a good entry point, or would you still look to, that's kind of a double-edged question here. If you, would you look for a pullback here to get into?
Yeah. So more or less, it just ran up to the 618. I just deleted it, but it just ran to the 618, had some volatility. Typically, we see a little bit of a pause and pullback or a couple of days in there. That's usually an opportunity. If it pauses there, it usually means we're going to hit the 100% measured move. So at this point, I mean, it actually just had, if we zoom in, it's really hard to see here. If we auto scale, we can see we had a big pullback a couple sessions ago and that would have been a good opportunity. But now this pullback means it's just kind of reset. And now I think the next run here really is probably going to go up to 3,050. So this is probably a half decent price. But you mentioned, Andy, it looks a little parabolic, which if we go to the monthly chart, and I'll just remove the drawings, it definitely has, when we go back to the last major super cycle that started back in early 2000s, And we use Fibonacci levels from those lows all the way to the highs in 2011-12, and then the lows here in 2016. If we carry that forward, it is, and I think you and I covered this last time, this huge move where we have this Fibonacci level, when we hit the 618 and we have a pause, that is a really good sign that we're going to go up and hit this 100% measured move, which we have hit. And now we've recalibrated the shorter term chart to say, okay, how much further can we run? And what happens typically once we get into one of these phases, they do tend to go parabolic and we start to have a blow off move where everyone piles in and it shoots higher through the target. It happened actually back over here. We saw a big spike within a 3 month window. We had it back over here in 2011. Where it just has this blow off move and goes parabolic. It's kind of a short-term squeeze of everyone piling in at the same time. Everyone's starting to talk about gold, silver, and miners, and they're all piling in. Hence, you know, I do feel like this year we are going to see gold have a fairly significant pullback, a lot like we saw in 2008. It was a 34% pullback. But right now, the trend is up. It is showing higher pricing, and we're in a very favorable market condition that you don't want to be picking a top here. You might as well ride it higher or wait for it to put in a topping pattern and wait for it to kind of reset. So 3% upside isn't huge. So it's not like you're going to miss out on anything spectacular at this point. And I do believe we're kind of getting close to the end of this run in gold. Just, you know, going back to this whole pattern, this is like, you know, 25-year pattern hitting our target. We could actually look at this, the shorter one from 2016 to this run up here using Fibonacci extension and carry it forward down to this low. It comes to the same level that we've hit in the last couple of months. So there's two sections of this whole pattern that target the same area. So right now, to me, this is like icing on the cake. If you're still in gold, you know, enjoy this, but be ready to lock in profits because typically after this comes a very sharp pullback and a reset, which is a good thing because after the reset, we're going to have this. That's when I believe the miners late this year, hopefully everything resets and then miners become the best play. Forget gold. It will be blurring and slow. You want to get into gold miners because they're going to, and silver miners, because they should start running hundreds or thousands of percent. So every asset class and every pocket of that asset will have better times to trade. Right now it's physical gold or the price of gold. Hopefully in a year or so, it'll be all about miners. That's the way I see it.
Got it. So before we leave this and go to the miners, tell me a little bit about like if it resets or if it has a blow off top. So what it really needs, it doesn't have to necessarily crash, which it certainly could. It would just, a sideways action would be acceptable as well for it to regroup. Would that be a good thing as well?
For sure. Yeah. If it can blow up here and then it could consolidate and put in some huge bull flag, some big paws, you know, just like it did over here. It ended up resolving to the downside. So we just have to see how this will unfold. It doesn't mean it has to correct, but it probably means when the stock market starts to sell off and goes into a bear market, when the economy turns down, usually we see gold, we see almost everything move down with the markets. There's just natural selling pressure. But if gold holds up, and it could, it's going to build a launch pad for us to draw that next upside target. Like we could do a Fibonacci extension from the low to the high and wherever it pulls down, that will tell us where that next upside move would be, which would be like, you know, this is a totally rough drawing, but like $4,000 would be the next 100% measured move if it does another one of these stair-stepping type of patterns.
Got it. Okay, excellent. And just for me talking to my viewers and listeners here, Chris had some great calls. We went through this earlier in 24, just the different, and late 23. And you'll notice that there on the chart, there are just these breakouts and then these stair steps, if you would. And he had some really great projection there. So kudos to you, Chris.
Thank you.
Let's talk about, I was going to talk about silver next, but let's actually jump to the miners, GDX and GDXJ. What are we seeing that? And they've ripped the last week or so, but they're still somewhat lagging, not where they should be. Is that giving you pause or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so they've definitely had a really nice run. I've got a list I call the ban hot list, which is best asset now. They were the worst of like the 40 sectors we follow. They're at the bottom of the list, and now they're at the top. We got gold miners and gold itself, like GLD and silver miners. They're all at the top of the list. And it's because they've had this huge run. It's actually really nice to see them participating and really screaming higher at this point. Gold miners more so than silver. But they are up to a major resistance area. If we were to kind of zoom in on GDX here and do a quick Fibonacci extension of the momentum, we have this run up. And then we ended up having this pause and pullback, and you know we've hit this level, and there's just a lot of excitement. We're starting to get what is kind of like a running correction, where it starts to gap up and down, and it's increased volatility and is running higher. So this is a very unpredictable chart pattern, and we're right up into resistance here, and so this could have a very explosive squeeze to the upside, a rally, or it could have a very sharp drop. These running corrections carry a lot of risk to them. But overall, to me, it's had a very nice run. It's nice to see it participating. But I do believe if we have some selling in the stock market, I think we're going to see gold miners get hit. And I think gold, this is one of the reasons why gold is the better play at this point, in my opinion. First of all, gold miners aren't hitting new highs. So all people are doing right now is recouping what they've lost from, you know, back in time. So it's not like true gains unless you bought near a low here. But what's going to happen is gold miners are stocks. They're stuck in the stock market. And it's just like the stock market is like the ocean tide. When the tide goes down, it pulls all boats down, or they go down with it. And so if the stock market goes down, we actually tend to see investors move out of stocks and they'll move into physical gold, into a commodity that's not tied into the stock market. But gold miner stocks are stuck in that falling tide. And while they can buck the trend or hold value or move up sometimes when the stock market goes down, the odds are they're still going to get pulled down with it. So, and I believe the stock market, you know, while it's in an uptrend and still going higher and we're long the stock market, I do think gold miners carry a lot of extra risk in terms of they can fizzle out and fall very quickly. And gold is kind of that much more defensive play, where when the stock market falls, gold can actually just keep going up. And we saw this back in 2008. We saw gold miners, silver miners, and silver kind of flatline, and they held their value while gold just kept on trucking up like lots, several percent, 5, 6, 8%. So we're in that environment where it's better to, you know, play the physical gold, get outside of the stock market versus the miners, which could pop and drop. They go in and out of favor. They become the best asset and the worst asset literally within a month and a half window over and over again. They just move very fast. And it's not, to me, it's not the sweet spot to be in right now.
Yeah, got it. So where would GDX need to be on a pullback for it become attractive for you and interesting to you to put on a trade?
Sure. Yeah. Let's, if we use a Fibonacci retracement, which says, hey, if based on this run that we've had, if we go to where it is, the sweet spot for a retracement is actually in this 0.38 to 0.5% level. So it's got quite a bit of room. It's also where we had the halfway point where we had a little bull flag and then it gapped and took off, a gap and go. So that would be a pretty significant level. It's also a pivot high through here. We had a breakdown and highs through here. So that's a very critical level. But it really depends on how it wants to pull back. If it pulls back and forms just a tight bull flag pattern here over the next week or so, if it starts to connect and start to run higher, then it could really take off. If it pulls all the way back down here, it actually does quite a bit of damage to the pattern, and it makes the upside potential actually a lot smaller. Whereas if it was just this bull flag, you know, we could draw a level based on that run, and it shows like much, much higher pricing for miners. We're looking at, you know, 46 potentially from where it is. I would think it would pull back somewhere down to here. So it'd be like a 13, 15% move. So what we want to see is a pause, a controlled pause or pullback. And depending on how that plays out, we'll figure out, you know, when does that turn confirm as a new uptrend started, then hop on that uptrend and ride the next leg higher.
Got it. I noticing a gap there. What do you think about gaps? Is just really where that breakout was late late January, early February there. Does that gap need to be filled in your mind?
For stocks and ETFs, it doesn't matter as much. I find for the indices, like the stock indices themselves, gaps almost always get filled, generally really quickly, within the same day or within a few days. And if they don't get filled right away, typically the market will have some huge correction way down the road and it'll fill all those gaps that it's missed. And the S&P 500 and QQQ have some gaps. But when it comes to like a sector ETF or individual stocks, it doesn't really matter. They're too small. To me, the stock market is very efficient. It wants to make sure, hey, if it jumped over, bridged a bunch of orders and prices, at some point it's going to want to come back and fill and run all those orders and cleanse the market and go through that. It likes to make sure it hits every price point through there to cleanse orders and do what it likes to do, which is shake people up and chew them up and spit them out. So it's just the indices themselves is the real key for gaps. Don't worry about it with commodities and stocks so much.
Got it. Okay, so let's talk some silver here. I'm very interested in that. It looks like over the last couple of days, we had a good breakout here. What are your thoughts? And is this a breakout or is this just an exhaustion to the upside?
Well, I mean, it is in an uptrend. We have a series of higher lows, a series of higher highs. It's having a breakout of a nice little bull flag pattern here. I think it's got a little more upside. We could use Fibonacci just based on this last bull flag pattern. It'll point to where we should see it run to, which is about 3480, which happens to be the highs that we saw over here. So naturally, there's going to be resistance, not only from previous price action, but also based on just momentum of this move, it should run out of speed around here. So there's some upside potential from white price where it is right now, about 3%. It's the same as gold, not a lot of potential. Silver is very tough to trade because it's a really noisy, choppy chart. And then suddenly, boom, you get a big pop. And it's like, either you missed it or you caught it, but you have to be in place to catch it. And silver drops like a, you know, it's like a waterfall. It's just straight down when it does fall and it pops the same way. So it is a very difficult thing to do unless you just ride out the volatility, which is kind of what you have to do. Smaller positions, don't let the volatility scare you. And ride it. So I think there's some upside. We're going to run into some resistance here. If we zoom out on the chart for silver a little bit here and go back in time, go way back here. I think we've got potential to move into this maybe 36, 37 range. For some reason, my charting seems to be frozen, but I think there's a little bit more upside. What I like, what's interesting for once is miners are kind of outperforming gold. And silver's really starting to move up significantly, which is nice to see. But again, I don't think this is like the start of a massive, huge rally. I really don't. I think in best case scenario, silver spikes up here and hits something like 37, somewhere in that range, which is this peak that we saw back in 2012, which percentage-wise is a very big move. So there is that potential, but I kind of feel like most of the upside in metals and miners is kind of done. It hit our 25-year analysis move. It hit our last 9-year pattern move. It hit all that. And right now, it's just everybody's kind of piling in. As you know, the masses seem to always buy right near the top. And so everybody's got all the attraction to gold and silver miners right here. And so that's not a very good sign when it's kind of headline news and everybody wants it after it's already hit all of the key targets. That to me is like, okay, the masses are kind of getting sucked in right near the high. They're going to be left holding the bag before we go into a little bit of a correction. So that's kind of what I see for silver.
Got it. And I'm not familiar. I trade a lot, some silver stocks, but I'm not familiar with the silver stock ETF. I don't believe there is one, but is there any way we could, oh, there you go.
Yeah, there is. And I mean,
I've never traded that. Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah, it's a super ugly chart. I always talk about it. I'm not a big fan of silver or silver miners. They're noisy. They're all over the place. Like, this does not look good in any time frame.
Right.
They're just underperforming. Like, silver's screaming higher today and gold miners gapped higher and they've been selling down all day. And they're not my thing. I just don't like them because I don't like things that are very, you know, unstable and
unpredictable.
Over the place. Yeah. So, and that's why it always goes back. If you track gold, physical gold, then you can use that for timing for gold miners. And if you don't want to do gold, well, gold miners are really good to follow. And if you get a buy signal in gold miners, then you can probably have a buy signal in silver miners. But trying to chart silver and silver miners are really noisy. They're all over the place. And people naturally want to gravitate to silver miners or silver miner juniors. There's SILJ, which is the juniors. And there's SIL, which are the larger cap silver. But use gold miners to track the buy and sell signals and then, you know, just transfer them over and move into the silver miners because you get a much cleaner chart for gold miners to time things. But they just underperform. They outperform and underperform at different times. And that's what makes them even more of a wild card is you don't know, like, are they going to lead or are they going to lag and or go the opposite of the market? And so it's hard enough to trade the markets on their own. But when you move to the precious metal space, sometimes they move with the stock market. Sometimes they do the opposite. And you never know when it's going to, which way it's going to go. And so it's hard enough to predict one direction. And then to have something that just flips what it wants to do with the general market is even harder because now you've just like gone from, you know, a really good odds to really crappy odds that you're going to get it right.
Yeah, no, I got you. And just for the record to all of our listeners and to you, I don't own any of the silver ETFs. I do own the gold ETFs and I do trade them a lot and also long-term invest a lot. So I'm just not familiar with it, but I do own specific silver companies that I just really like. Okay. Any parting thoughts for us, Chris? We've kept you long enough. Tell us, give us some advice to what traders and investors should be looking at over the next 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks. Trump's at the helm. He's shaking things up. I think kind of buckle up for a lot of volatility, continued volatility. It seems like every Monday we have some type of bad news hit. It's like, you know, AI Monday. We have all these crazy things hitting and tariffs. And I think people just need to kind of be aware that I believe we're like within a month or two of a major stock market top. I feel like we're finally getting to that point. Gold should hold up fairly well and continue to strengthen. And people just need to be aware that eventually the music's going to end. We're going to have some reset and they have to have a strategy in place to know when to move out of things. And I think we're just getting very close to that. This year is going to be a tough year and to not think that the buy and hold is the way to go. It's, there's just be prepared for a big downturn and have an exit plan.
Yeah. And you're going to be at PDAC just walking around like I am going to be doing. I don't want to speak for you, but I will grab Chris and say hello if you see him. I am.
Yeah. I was at the Vancouver event, the VRIC. It was awesome. Met a ton of people. I'll be at PDAC. I'm not sure which day yet, March 2nd to 5th. I'm not sure what day I'm there, but. yeah, looking forward to it. I've never been to it, so I'm excited to go check it out. It looks huge.
Yeah, I've never been to it. I've always been somewhat afraid of it because it's like, what am I going to get done here? It's just so many people, but I'm really looking forward to it. I've been to VRIC. I didn't go last year. You were pinging me if I was going to be there. I missed it. I had a conflict, but looking forward to seeing you and being at PDAC. And Chris, big fan of York. If people want to do business with you, how do they find you? And I'll put all of this in the show notes.
Yeah, they can just go to YouTube, go to The Technical Traders, or they could go to my website, thetechnicaltraders.com. And I share market analysis and you get a taste of it on my YouTube web channel, what I kind of offer. I don't share my trades on YouTube, but you can ride my coattails, learn a lot about the markets every day. And focus on, I just trade ETFs. We rotate from asset to asset. Whatever's moving up, we'll hold. If it's not moving up, we get out of it. And that's the whole strategy that I developed, which is called Asset Revesting, which is the book over my shoulder here, if you're watching.
Yeah, well, to all my viewers and listeners, a couple of things. Chris is way underselling his product. It is fantastic. And I've been interviewing him now for about, I want to say 18 months, but I've known Chris from before. And he is a fantastic technician. He would never say that, but he is. He's fantastic. He's been out a lot. He also has a bigger following than me, and he's gracious enough. He's one of the most gracious people. So thank you for that. And Chris, I look forward to seeing you at PDAC.
Sounds great. See you soon.
See you soon.